1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at one verse, and it is glorious. And I am so thrilled. I'm so thrilled that you said yes. I've so enjoyed just kind of immersing in some truths of Christ. And I don't know if you'll learn anything new tonight, but I just think you're going to just be in awe of Christ. Now remember, this particular book was a letter to a young church, 5 years old in that range, and they really don't have a lot of spiritual people. You know, in Jerusalem, those that got saved, that knew the Old Testament, they would immediately know Christ as the fulfillment, and so they had some spiritual maturity, even though they were young in their years in Christ. But Corinth, not so much. But when he says this verse here, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says this, but it's talking of God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We're going to look at these four things that Christ has made unto us: wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And I've really just got a lot of scriptures, and I think it's going to be glorious. So Christ is our wisdom. Let me just show you a few verses here that I want you to just, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The beginning point is this: you and I will never be able to fully grasp the wisdom and the vastness of God. I think even in eternity, we're going to be learning it and growing. I think we'll be growing in eternity of our knowledge and of our love for Christ. I'm excited about that. Aren't you excited that you're going to be learning and growing in your love for Christ? Because it's beyond us. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But here's what he's telling the Corinthians. It's in Christ. Remember, this was a Gentile city. It is, and what do the Gentiles seek after? Wisdom. And he's saying this: you want wisdom? It's in Christ. It's not in the world's wisdom. Johnny, it's good that you're getting your GED. But you know why? I don't care if you learn a thing. I just want you to get the piece of paper. Okay? And if you can learn something, more power to you. But, you know, I told my kids when we homeschooled, I said, you know, we're homeschooling for character. Right? I told them that. I said, you know, if you're going to be, you know, I tell people this: Christianity is not about intelligence. If you're going to be a moron for Jesus. And God won't hold you accountable for anything that's not your IQ, right? But, so I don't think it's wrong, so I didn't want you to understand this. It's not wrong for you to go for your GED. It opens doors. Okay? And so I think it's a good thing. So don't misunderstand me. But we ought not to seek satisfaction in the wisdom of the world. Satisfaction is in Christ. Just look at Colossians chapter 2. I want to read prior to when we get there. But look, Paul saying to this church, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." He is just eaten up with them. "And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom," of Christ, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You want to have wisdom and knowledge? It's in Christ. Search him. Study Christ. Study the scriptures. I didn't say if you want to be a surgeon that you shouldn't, you know, go to med school. But just make sure of this, that when you really want wisdom and you want knowledge and you want wisdom and knowledge that'll change your life and guide you. You want to be a great surgeon? I will tell you, don't let Christ come second place during those 12 years of school and residency. You'll be a mess. You'll be a mess. We need Christ. Don't get too busy. You want to have success? It's in Christ. And it's in his word. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written in there, then thou might make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's in the Word of God to know Christ. I want to show you this, and I want to show you these verses. And then Todd gave me this week, and it is awesome. If you don't like it, it's Todd's fault, but you're going to love it. You're going to love this. But let's just look at wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. And here's what I think I'm going to do. Just a little preview so you don't think this is a planned delay. When I finish Exodus, I think I'm going to go to Proverbs. Now, I know you're like, really? I'm dead serious. Because the end of Exodus is going to be a little tedious for you. And we're going to make it good. We're going to make it interesting. And so I don't want to enter into Leviticus with you already wore out. Okay, I've seen you guys with Ezekiel. And so what I'm going to do, since, you know, Wednesday nights is Old Testament night, I'm going to go into the book of Proverbs. And I don't know how long I'll go in Proverbs. I don't think I'll go all 31 chapters. But so that's the plan. And the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. It's so good. If you haven't read Proverbs, young or old, and you just want to learn how to navigate this life, Proverbs is the greatest book of practical living ever written, and it's written by God. It's wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. So the whole theme of the book of Proverbs, get wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not compared to it. Wisdom is better than rubies. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Well, Todd just unleashed this, and it's so cool. I've replaced the word wisdom with Christ. Christ has made unto us wisdom. And when you see this, you know, I came from a world that if I did this to the King James Bible, I would be a heretic. I'm not trying to be a heretic today, right? I'm just trying to show you this. If all the wisdom is in Christ, all I've done is just put the name of Christ for illustration purposes, and it's mind-blowing. I mean, this was worth the price of admission tonight. It's Proverbs 4:7. Christ is the principal thing. Therefore, get Christ. Is that awesome? I thank Todd for it, right? It's just, and with all thy getting, get understanding. For Christ is better than rubies. You struggle that wisdom's better. Christ is better than rubies. And all things, Christ is better than all things that may be desired. Are not to be compared to, I should have said him, but it's Christ. And then look at Proverbs 16:60. How much better is it to get Christ than gold? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? It was so good. And when Todd showed me that, I said, oh, that's coming on a Sunday night, because I said, I am preaching that Christ is our wisdom. Is that not, that'll transform your perspective of the book of Proverbs. Every time you see wisdom, it's in Christ. You want wisdom, oh, it's in the book of Proverbs, but true wisdom, eternal wisdom, is in Christ. And I want to tell you, so I know people will say, well, that's, what do you mean? Figure it out. Study it. Get Christ. Learn of Christ. And seek Christ, because he's better than gold. He's better than everything. He's better than rubies. He's the principal thing, therefore get Christ. If you've got one thing that you want to accomplish, I want to know Christ, I want Christ to be everything, and he has made unto us wisdom. You want wisdom, wisdom that'll be eternal, wisdom that'll help us navigate this world. It's in Christ. I didn't say that's going to fix your problems overnight, but I will tell you this, you need wisdom, I need wisdom, and then you think of James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lack Christ. Sigh. Did you? Let me try that again. If any of you lack. Yeah, there you go, sigh. All right, that's good. That's good. Love, sighs, enthusiasm. If you lack Christ, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. I'm not trying to change the scriptures. I will tell you this, that Christ has made unto us wisdom. And if somebody's blasphemous, it's Todd. But I will tell you, I would love it. It would be awesome. Had any of you ever thought of that before? Oh, Ron, thanks for sharing it with me. Thanks for keeping it from me. And I love it. Isn't it good? What's that? Oh, yeah, with Christ. Yeah, replace love. Have you really done it with wisdom, too? What other words? Just my share now that we're having an open conversation. But no, it's good. I'm just teasing, you know. I'm going through the book of Proverbs with a young man right now, and the next time we meet, he's going to get an overdose of this. Christ is made unto us wisdom. You know, if you feel like you're just not all that, it's in Christ. Seek Christ. He is all we need. I will tell you again, that's what heaven is. I think the reason why we don't have a lot of detail in heaven is because we have all the detail in heaven, and it's Jesus. God is so wonderful. He's going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And I think there's going to be strawberries and grapes and all kinds of stuff. And you're going to be like, man, I've never had a strawberry before. These are so good. There'll be no sour strawberries, right? I mean, it'll be like, oh, man, these are, because, you know, you get, you know, you're like, right before they're perfectly ripe, then they get rotten the next day. You're like, right? No rotten strawberries on the new earth. I mean, whatever you like, you know. Mangoes are horrible here. You know, I've been shipped here. It's like, you get a mango like in the Philippine Islands, like, pull that mango off. It can be green, man. You make a shake out of it, you're like, awesome. Mangoes are going to be great. New heaven and new earth. But you know what heaven's going to be? Christ. I don't want to go pulling mangoes without Jesus. I think we might have a mango field trip. You're like, let me show you these mangoes. Let me show you how to make them best. And you don't think he's going to enjoy eating with us? Who made eating? God did. He could have made it, said, yeah, you don't need to eat. That would be a dud, right? He's going to eat with us. He's going to sing with us. He's going to sing in the midst of his congregation. Isn't that good? One of the kids for Master Clubs, they Pastor Appreciation Day, and one of the kids wrote, you're the loudest person that's singing. And I'm not trying to be, but I'm going to belt it out, right? I want you to know this. Christ. You feeling inferior tonight? You need a good dose of Christ esteem. You need to seek Christ. It's okay if you're not impressed with yourself because you are not impressive. That's rough, but it's true. Christ is impressive. He is wisdom. I don't think I'll ever... Ron, you need to start sharing that with everybody you meet. Let me tell you. You want wisdom? You need to know Christ. I'm going to use it at Thornton's and every other place. Would you like some wisdom today? Well, you need a good healthy dose of Jesus Christ because Christ is our wisdom. And so it's good. Christ has made our wisdom. Christ is our righteousness. And I love this. We've got to teach people this simple truth. And I use it all the time. And I think you're a better fan of it now, Deb. Deb never did like this. You still don't like this when I say, you know, the requirement for heaven is perfection. You don't like that? You like when I do that? Now, she's still not a fan. She's not a fan. But that is the requirement for heaven. Right? I mean, she's going to get with it one day and finally, you know, realize that, bring everybody over for kickball. No. But it's the stress of the trip, right? She's being reasonable. I was being unreasonable because I don't really have to do anything except come on over. not very thoughtful. But you understand the requirement for heaven is perfection. That's in Matthew, where Jesus tells the rich young ruler, if you will be perfect, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come take up thy cross and follow me. And it said the young man left sorrowful. And I told you, I ask people all the time, do you have to sell everything in order to go to heaven? And everybody says, no. And I go, yes, you do. And you need to write a check out to Hope Baptist Church. And I do it all the time. And I'll say, no, you don't. So what's Jesus teaching? That young man couldn't hold on to any sin, and he was covetous. He loved his stuff, and Jesus said, I know your heart. The only way you're going to be able to repent of it is if you don't have it. Got to get rid of it. And so Christ is our righteousness. You see, the only reason I'm going to heaven, because I tell people this all the time, this is important. If you can go to heaven without being perfect, you know what heaven is? Right here. Yeah. And I tell them, and if you go to heaven and live eternally and you sin, right? It's going to be worse because your sin's going to grow over time, right? And you give yourself an eternity to sin, then heaven's just going to be worse than this. You see, God is holy. We can't live eternally with our sin. I know Satan comes into the presence of God, but we need the righteousness. So let's just look at the scriptures. I want you to join. These are a lot of scriptures, but I want you to, you can write them down. I'll send you the notes if you want. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Most of you are familiar with this. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ died for us. God poured out his wrath on Christ that we might be made righteous in Christ. We might be made perfect in Christ. We're going to see a verse that talks about imputing his righteousness, removing our sin. And that is why we're going to heaven, because I have the perfect righteousness of Christ. My guys are here, at least Quentin and Alex. You guys remember that day I was teaching you guys this? And I said, when God sees me, he sees. I had each one of you guys. Was it you, Chow, at the end when I said, when my wife sees me, she sees? One of the guys said, perfection. And I go, I wish, but she doesn't. Because my wife can't appreciate that there's a perfect Steve. See, when God saved me, he made a new Steve. That Steve's perfect. The old Steve, this flesh, the new Steve's responsible for this flesh. So you'll see this crazy kind of talk in Romans 7 that says, you know, when I sin, though not me, but my flesh. You see, because if I don't manage this flesh, I'm responsible for the sin of this flesh, but it's really not me. Does that make sense? I know that sounds confusing a little bit. I'll help teach you. The new Steve's perfect, and the new Steve's begin all I need to conquer and overcome and discipline this flesh. If I walk in the flesh, good doesn't happen. If I walk in the Spirit, good happens. But you see, the only way I can do that is because I've been given the righteousness of Christ. I finally can do what's right, not because of me being good. I haven't learned to be good. I can learn to submit to Christ. But I've been given all, it's Christ's righteousness. It's his goodness. It's not my goodness. And Christ has been made unto us righteousness. It's so beautiful, right? So righteousness, it's being right with God. So not a difficult definition. Oh, it's supposed to be Philippians 3:9. Turn to Philippians 3:9 real quick. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 3:19. I got to get on my publicist for messing these up. I let Todd do this week. And he didn't. I'm just kidding. Won't be doing Todd jokes for a few weeks. Philippians 3:9. It bothers me. It would be so good for you to see it on the screen. Make sure you turn there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. We're talking about Christ giving us his righteousness. Paul speaking of this, that everything he had before Christ was a waste. And he said that, I want to win Christ that I may be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness. You see, it's not my own righteousness, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I want the righteousness of Christ, and the only way to have the righteousness of Christ is by faith. You have to be made perfect. You have to have your sins removed. You need the righteousness of Christ. This is not about religion. This is about a personal relationship with Jesus. This is about faith in him, and what he does is the impossible. He makes you perfect, because he gives you his righteousness. You don't, look at verse 9, it's just powerful. Paul wanted to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. If you have your own righteousness, then you're in trouble, because the Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You have your own, I need Christ. So your own is which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Just bummed I didn't have the right verse, apologize for that. Philippians 3:9, it's important. You need the righteousness. We need to scream it from the mountaintops. What makes biblical Christianity different is it's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ. Every false religion says, be good, do your best, kind of turn over the old leaf, kind of just be the best you can be. It's not about that. It's not about, Christianity's not about that. Christianity is about living for Christ, living through Christ, living through His wisdom, living through His righteousness. That's what Christianity's about. Christianity's not about a better you. You will be a better you if you truly and I truly walk with Christ and submit to Him. It's what happens. Fertilize an apple tree. You think it's going to be better apples, Brady? I'm assuming fertilizer works. I thought you were going to be some horticulturalist and say, well, you know, with apples, you made me nervous for a second. Whatever you do for apples, you know, you're just, ah, Zeb, who's, hey, you know, whatever you're doing. I don't know what you're doing with apples, you know. And then what the outcome is a better apple, right? You do what God says and your outcome will be a better you. Your objective isn't to be a better you, but when you follow the commands of God, He is going to refine you. We'll get to sanctification in just a second. Isaiah 61 verse 10, I love this verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Look at this. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride ordaineth herself with her jewels. This is what God's done. Just appreciate this verse. Isaiah 61, 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. I love this. These people I'll do the wedding for tomorrow night, they've never heard me do a wedding. So you know my favorite part of a wedding is the bride wearing a white dress. I just met these folks today. And I said, you know, I did my little routine. I said, are you wearing a white dress? And she said, yes. I said, well, you're not. You're not a virgin. And she kind of. And I said, let me tell you why you're wearing that white dress. And I said, have you had doubts whether you should wear a white dress or not wear a white dress? What'd she say? Yes. You know, because she professed Christ, and I think she did. And I said, tomorrow, when you wear that white dress, you're representing Christ. There's not one young lady that can walk down any aisle and declare her righteousness, is there? She wears that white dress, if you really understand the picture. I love this. She's picturing that she's been covered in the robe of righteousness of Christ. And she started crying. Wasn't trying to make her start crying, but she got how good Christ is. And you see, if we start declaring our righteousness, Brother Lee, we're a mess, aren't we? Because it's the way it works, right? If I start declaring my righteousness, all of a sudden God's so good, He'll expose how unrighteous I am. That'd be good for me. You see, you need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ in His garments. It's my favorite part of the wedding. Here comes the bride, all dressed in white. Isn't that what it is? Is that what I should never do song lyrics. But it's here comes the bride, covered with the righteousness of Christ. To me, it's beautiful. And when you understand it, it's why the woman at the well said, come, see a man that told me all that I ever did. She lost her shame. It's okay. It's gone. Jesus has removed it. I'm covered with His righteousness. You see, Christ has been made unto us righteousness. Let's just look at Romans chapter 4. Maybe too long. I hope not. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Abraham was 2,000 years before this. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now let's just see, what does that mean? It's counted to him for righteousness. The Bible explains itself. Abraham believed God. And so I want you to understand this. He believed God and the message of God. I believe his faith was in the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. No different than our salvation. So don't you dare around me. Because I will. Does that do that? Oh, yeah, it does. Right there, man. Right there. All right. I hope this doesn't hurt. Can this be dangerous? Oh, it can? Oh, Brother Lee, these can be dangerous? I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was just kind of, I thought, why would they give me this? I was thinking, please forgive me. I wouldn't do it. I'll never do it again, Lord willing. There you go. Ellen and I said, Lord willing, right? So if I do it, He must have been willing. All right. Just get back to the verse. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, in the message of God, that's salvation through the Messiah. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's just see what the Bible says. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Okay, so I know that seems like a lot, but when you think about it, but him that worketh, you're working for your salvation. And I know people don't know what they're saying. They go, I go, hey, if you die tonight, you're going to heaven. I'm working on it. I don't know. You're the saved or you're not. If you're working on it, you know what they're usually saying? Trying to be a better person. I don't jump on them too bad, but it's, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Okay, you want to work for your salvation? You've got to pay the debt, and you'll never pay it. It's an eternity of damnation. Now to him that worketh, you're working for your salvation, it is the reward not reckoned of grace, unmerited favor, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, see, I didn't earn my salvation. Right, that beautiful song we sang tonight, right? We do have pages. I wouldn't know how to sign on to this thing. We don't have it, do we? I ain't doing it. You know, what's the words of that song? Merit, what is it? All sufficient merit. It's the merit of Christ. You guys have heard of merit-based systems? It's systems that are based on your performance. Systems that are based on what you do. Let me tell you, salvation is not a merit-based system. It's on the merit of Christ. Salvation is not what you do. So it says, but him that worketh not. I'm not working for my salvation. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Now, then we get to, this is good stuff. So I think you understand that verse, right? Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You see, when you trust in Christ, that's the word deposit, impute. He deposits an eternal CD of righteousness, never to be removed. He imputes his righteousness to you. And look, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You see, there's going to be one of two things. Everybody in this room, you're going to have something eternal imputed to you. If you have eternal life, the righteousness of Christ has been imputed. If you have eternal damnation, then God will impute your sins unto you. That is not good. Your sins are deposited, and then that's when you got to pay the debt. Because understand this, at the great white throne judgment, people will answer for their works. God's not being a punk. He's not being a smart. Like maybe the way I say it comes across that way. But God says this, you must pay the debt. And when will the debt be paid? Never. It's impossible. That's why, oh Christian, God never says, you're a debtor to him. You can't pay him back. You've been given eternal life by grace, unmerited. We owe him nothing. But we owe the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise, we owe them the gospel. Christ is made unto us wisdom. Christ is made unto us righteousness. Christ is made unto us sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification and the word holy mean the same, to be set apart, set aside unto righteousness. When God saves someone, so Ron, you know, just you're learning. It's probably like by the fire hose tonight, right? But you didn't know this. You didn't need to know this. You just had to know, can you trust Christ? Can you trust him to make you right in order to have eternal life? And do you want to serve him the rest of your life? Well, one thing he does with every believer, Ron, is he sets you apart. He said, okay, Ron, you're mine. You're mine now. And that's the best place to be. You're mine. I'm going to set you apart, Ron, for holy living, for my purposes, and for my glory. Bible calls every believer a saint. And so he sets us apart. Christ is our sanctification. I just want to show you a few verses here that says this. Are you struggling with sin? You cannot understand this. Wasn't this the issue with the Corinthians? They were the most wicked believers I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I think this was the book God wanted me to cover, but it's going to be a little difficult at places, right? Bible words are better, so I'll use Bible words, but some of you have been like, oh! And I'll say, ask your parents when you get home. And you guys are like, oh. And these Christians were a mess because they had such a decadent culture. That's what we're going into in places across the world, right? They don't know Christ. And what Christ does is he makes us right. You're struggling with sin, you need to seek Christ. That's the issue, is walk with Christ, immerse in Christ, get another brother or sister to help you out. Men, get a brother. Women, get a sister. And say, I need help. I need help. I can't do this on my own. And you know what we should say? Of course you can't, neither can I. I texted somebody, God had put them on my heart, and I said, hey, I just want you to know, God put you on my heart, and I'm praying for you. And I could say, I don't know of anything that's going on, but when God puts somebody on my heart, I'm going to pray for them. And it's this, and they said, I need all I could get. And I said, me too. Were you praying for me? No, I didn't say that. So he writes this, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Hebrews 3:12, what a great verse. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, that he might sanctify his people, those that are believers, that he might sanctify us. God didn't save us to keep us out of hell. It's a great fringe benefit. That's not a joke. I'm glad you guys have learned that. You know, when I say that, most people are like, ha, 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 ha. No, God saved us so that we would walk with him, commune with him, and know him and know his son, and know him intimately, and know the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Bible never says, not going to hell, that's what it's all about, baby. It doesn't say that. It's knowing Christ. It's all about him. And then, just read that again. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Do you notice a lot of these are from Corinthians, the book of Corinthians? Because they really needed some help being separate from the world, right? Modern day Christianity, you know, is just like, hey, this bud's for you. What are we doing Friday night? Told you I got a flyer years ago, won't name the church. And it said 12 reasons why going to church on Saturday night's a good one, a good idea. It was number 3 or 4. You don't have to worry about that hangover on Sunday morning going to church. That's not the Christianity I can find. Look, can a Christian drink? Sure. Stupid Christian. But it's nonetheless, God calls us unto sanctification. He calls us to be separate. He's not calling us to say, just want you to have your best life, and he does. But your best life is in Christ. It's not in the world. You want to play with the world, it'll burn you. Listen to old people. God's word is right. And the devil, he is a deceiver. And he is so good that you can grow up in church and fall for the lie of the devil. You don't think you can? Adam and Eve fell for it, didn't they? Adam wasn't deceived, but he chose sin over God. He chose Eve over God because he thought, this is better. Boy, Adam regretted it for 930 years. The devil's slick. 2 Corinthians 5:70, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So, Ron, the Bible uses this term, that when you became saved, I trust you're saved, that you're in Christ. You know what you were when you walked into this building this morning? You were in your sins. That's not a good way to die. The two ways people are going to die is in their sins and have to be judged for their sins, or in Christ. You're in Christ. Now let's see. This is what, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. There's a new Ron on the scene. All right? Old things are passed away. You still might have to fight some of these habits, but you know what? It's old. It's bump. Leave them. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's why we want to teach you the Bible, so you're not guessing what's new, right? I want you to know this. There probably isn't a lot that was holy in your life. That's not me picking on you. That's anybody that gets saved, right? Because the Bible says you couldn't do anything good before Christ. And so now he's going to help you think differently, look differently, speak differently, walk differently, not because you're better, but Christ is better. And I hope this, one of the keys that will let you know if you're saved, you should be burdened about others that don't know what you now know. Because without Christ, there is no hope. See, God has saved us, that he would sanctify us, so that we would do the work of God, and there's just nothing better. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. Now, we talked about this, Mary and Martha. Don't you dare shortchange being at the feet of Jesus. Don't you dare miss that quality time with Christ and make it real. Don't just do the 15-minute check the box. 15 minutes could be glorious, but not if you're just checking the box. And I think we're going to serve the Lord for all eternity. We're going to be at His feet. We will be finally sanctified forever. You know, in Romans 8:29, it says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So every believer, it's guaranteed you're going to be conformed to the image of His Son. I've taught this enough. Okay, when's the conformity finished, Steve? When's the conformity finished? Heaven? When's the conformity finished? I agree. Heaven. When's the conformity finished? Heaven. When's the conformity finished? When's the conformity finished? Well, okay. I don't think any got the right answer yet. When's the conformity finished? Well, that starts the process, and He which began a good work in you will complete it. So not quite, but it is. So turn to Romans chapter 8. Wasn't planning on this. This is a freebie. Just know this. Man, we got a freebie tonight. It's a buy one, get one free night. And look at Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Chew on this. I'm not in disagreement that we won't sin anymore, okay? Won't sin anymore when we get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe the conformity is this. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, not only the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I believe I will be, that my conformity is finished when I get my new body that'll be exactly like Christ. And so that's when my conformity will be finished. That I don't know if you maybe the answer could be never, that if we continually learn, and I think we will. But I think the conformity is finalized when we get our new body. We can talk about that. That talks about our adoption's finalized, our redemption is complete when we get our new bodies, and that'll happen at the resurrection. That's when I'll be like Christ in every way. Doesn't mean I'll be omniscient and omnipotent, but to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the sanctification. That's the intent. That God saved us, that we be conformed to the image of His Son. And this side of heaven, we ought to see that conformity grow. We ought to be more Christ-like. We ought to be immersing in Christ. We're sanctified for that. Now, Christ is our... Oh, I had another verse. Too much time going on. I have a lot of more verses. How can I stop? Forgot how many verses I had. They're good verses. You should get my notes. So Christ is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification. He's our redemption. I want to share. There's a lot of confusion about He's our redemption. So Christ. Let me read a definition. I like this definition. So there's a difference between the ransom and redemption. I want you to hear that. Difference between ransom and redemption. Ransom is the price paid to free someone from captivity. Ransom, the price paid to free somebody from captivity. Redemption is the act of being set free once the price has been paid. So ransom's the cost, redemption is the result. Christ paid the ransom for all. Redemption is the transaction. So I love this word. Ransom is the result that can only happen by faith. Redemption is the result that can only happen by faith. So here's what I want you to understand. There's a ton of confusion. I've heard just crazy explanations. Because people will teach, if Christ died and took the eternal damnation for all, then everybody's going to heaven. That is not true. Christ paid the ransom. He did all that He needed to do, and you will not be redeemed except by faith, by grace through faith. So Christ, I believe, did take the punishment for all. We can have that conversation. But it is not applied until by faith, and then you're redeemed. It is, that's the transaction. I want to use the right words. It's ransom is the cost, redemption is the result. The price has been paid. It's not imputed into your account until faith. Remember we saw that in Romans chapter 4? It is Jesus paid the price for all. Redemption is when it has been the result of the ransom. Now let me just give you some scriptures. It'll be better than me rambling. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, redemption is in Christ. Christ hath redeemed us. Who's the us? The believers at Galatia. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It's one of the stumbling blocks for the Jews as well, right? Jesus was hung on a tree. And they thought, our Messiah hung on a tree? We know this from Deuteronomy that everyone that hangs on a tree is cursed. Well, Christ became our curse. He was made a curse for us. He was punished for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. And then Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Your salvation is not bought with corruptible things. You're not going to heaven if you give a bunch of money to a church. You're not going to heaven if you do a bunch of good works. I'll tell you, Mother Teresa is the poster child of failed religion. Look it up, Time Magazine. Mother Teresa said before she died, she said, I can only hope that I've done enough good works to earn my way to heaven. If that's what her faith is in, it's damning faith. Mother Teresa probably did a lot of good humanitarian works. That will not redeem you. It's only Christ. So let's look at this again. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, you know, everything you've been told, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. It's humbling. It's humbling. And so I think I've got one final slide. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ has been made unto us wisdom. I don't think I'll ever be able to read the Bible again with the word wisdom that I won't replace it in my own mind with Christ. Christ has been made unto us our righteousness. Without the righteousness of Christ, I'm doomed. Without his righteousness, no one ever went to heaven. That's why I'm adamant about it. I think I can prove it scripturally. No one's in heaven without the righteousness of Christ that only comes by faith. When Christ saves us, he becomes our sanctification. It's one of the emphasis areas that he had in John 17, sanctify them, and by thy truth, thy word is truth. God didn't save us to wallow in mud like a pig. God saved us so that we would honor him and we would have humility. If we do righteous deeds, it's only by Christ, and we're not better than anybody. If we act better than people, or we give the aura that we're better than them, we have misrepresented Christ. Do you understand this? We ought not to indulge in the activities of the world. And I know there's incredible pressure to do that, but Christ is our sanctification. I will tell you this. You immerse in Christ, you abide in Christ, you walk with Christ, you will have greater victory over your flesh and over sin. Period. Guaranteed. If you're struggling with sin, you are not abiding in Christ. You say, I thought I was. Well, you're not. Figure it out. Abide in Christ. Seek his face. Why don't you just pray honestly with God? I don't even know what the preacher's talking about when he says abide in Christ. Would you help me know this? I want that. Told a couple this morning, Jared and his wife. I said, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. I said, you want everything in life. John 15, 1 through 11 says, everything that you want, it's there. I said, I'll guarantee you, you don't want anything else. I hope I intrigued him enough. And you know where everything is? It's in Christ. It's abiding in Christ. It's answered prayer. It's glory to God. It's abundant fruit. And it's joy that remains. He said, I want my joy to remain. I want your joy to be full. What do you want, Phoebe? You want to be happy? You know, I think most people think Christians just want to be
mad. No, I want to be happy. I don't want to be goofy. I want to be happy. Anybody here say, I don't want to be happy? We ought to look happy. We ought to be happy. You know, I love this old song. This guy, he was a nut. Sometimes nuts just, you know, he'd get up and he would do it before the football team and he'd go, happy, 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 happy in the Lord. And, you know, we got our football equipment on. We're like, we don't want to sing this song, you know. But he said, you guys are going to sing it. We're not practicing. You're just going to run. Happy, 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 happy in the Lord. Praise God. I'm born again, trusting in His word. I started too high. I want you to know His promise is true, and I'm so happy, happy, happy in the Lord. That ought to be the Christian, shouldn't it? We ought to have the joy. Now, there is a time for tears, of course. But of all people, it's in Christ. What are you struggling with tonight? The answer is Christ. I love this. I'm not a counselor to any stretch of the imagination. I've got one bullet in my gun, and His name is Jesus. Well, let me hear what your problem is. I know exactly what you need. Well, let me hear what your problem is. It is so amazing that I have been studying this solution, and His name is Jesus. I'm joking with you, but is there any better solution for anything? It's in Christ. I didn't say it's going to be fixed in 20 minutes, right? But if you today, if you say, I want Jesus to be my focus. I don't want it to be plastic. I want Him to be my wisdom. I want to appreciate His righteousness, and I want to represent Him well. I want Him to help me live for Him, and to help me truly be separate from the world, but I'll love the world at the same time. I will love them and take the gospel to them, but I won't love their activities and their system. And I want to act like I'm redeemed. You know, when you hear redeemed and so happy to, whatever, what is it? Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. I mean, it's a great, you'd think they might have got that from 1 Corinthians 1:30. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Thank you. I'm not trying to minimize your struggles. We need Christ. You know what I need when I go to South Africa? I need Christ. I need the Spirit of Christ. I need to realize this. It's good for me to feel inadequate. Somebody told me, they go, I was surprised to hear that you're nervous, terrified. It won't bother me if I die on the trip over. I'll be like, oh, I'm so glad. I don't mess people up. I'll be in a better place anyway, right? You know, I'm so weird. Every Bible study I have, like I said, you know what my best day is going to be? The day I die. Hope it's not in the meat grinder. I watched a lot of Batman when I grew up. But you know what I need? I need to focus on Christ. I need to have confidence in Christ. I need to feel so inadequate. And these souls are tender. They're precious. Sister Carla, I told you this morning, I need to listen to my own words. I can't mess it up. They're condemned already. You know how good God is? He won't let them understand my English words that are just ridiculous. I really believe that with all my heart. He is that good. He cares that much. And He's like, this is ridiculous. And He knew what was coming. So all of a sudden, He'll get somebody distracted. I trust in that. I don't want to abuse that. You can't mess it up. You just obey. You leave it in the Lord's hands. And you depend on Him. And I don't know what He's going to do. But I'll tell you this. You obey. I'm going to go terrified. You guys know me. This is easy. Piece of cake. Because you love me. And they don't know me. And I don't know if I told you this. I don't think they're going to know, and I don't want them to find out. These 80 seniors don't have to come. We're not going to tell them that. But you know what the devil wants to do? You need to complain about that guy. And if they talk to one of their teachers, they'll be like, oh, you don't have to go. That could become a wildfire in a storm. I tell them the 29th night, did you know you didn't have to come? No, but it's this. You pray that the devil will be constrained and that God will work and that these students will want to hear what God has to say, what the Bible has to say. Doing a survey before I preach. My first night preaching is next Monday with these 80. I'll be preaching on Sunday, but to these 80. I'm going to do a survey for them and find out where they're at, and I'm going to try to address that the first night. I want to give them hope. You know what I need Monday night? I remember Christ is my wisdom, Christ is my righteousness, Christ is my sanctification, and Christ is my redemption. I can't mess this up. He's big. He loves you. He loves me. And he'll use us. Trust and obey. Let's pray. Father,